Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Bean Dad, The Dress, 30 to 50 Feral Hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus. And every week we take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who are they? What made them so notorious? How did the internet or the algorithm choose them? And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? Listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, listeners. This is Parenting is a Joke. You're listening to the voice of Ophira Eisenberg. That's me. How's everyone doing? It's April. Yeah, I gotta say, I feel like there's a widespread just lift of everyone's spirits because now the daylight lasts till 6:30. What to do with that extra light? I don't know. A few days after Easter, my son asked, "So what does this holiday actually mean, Mom? Like, what happened?" And when I explained the belief that Jesus rose from the dead, he immediately just went, "Gross! Ah, like a zombie? Was he naked?" If that doesn't sum up the mindset of an 8-year-old boy, I don't know what does. So here, April, for the Parenting is a Joke team, is quite a juggle, because we're all working moms, and we all have 4 different weeks of April vacation. Yeah, schools clearly did not know how to handle early Easter, late Passover, Eid, and then just spring vacation. So we're all over the place. Logistics, Department of Education. So fun. So we're revisiting our chat with the wonderful comedian Tig Notaro. She has a brand new comedy special out called Happy to Be Here. It's on Amazon. And enjoy right now my interview with Tig Notaro. We'll be back next week.
I'm very excited for my guest today. She's been nominated for a Grammy. She's got comedy specials, television shows, a documentary. Has been in many movies. You all know her, and she has a podcast called Don't Ask Tig. Please welcome to my Zoom screen, Tig Notaro. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
So, Tig, start things off because, you know, welcome to Parenting is a Joke. What are the ages and names of your kids?
Max and Finn, they will be 7 in June. They are fraternal twins.
So I have a 7-year-old, so I have a little bit of an idea, maybe, of what their life is like. Although I saw through the social medias, you guys are really into Little League baseball.
Well, I mean, that's one thing. they're on the basketball team. Swim team. They're on Little League. They are into soccer, hockey. It's endless. There's new interest now in golf. One is training for the Olympics, running around the yard. So, yeah.
Super sporty.
Very active kids. But, I mean, they're also into the typical Legos and Pokemon and all that kind of stuff.
How do you feel about the Pokemon?
I feel good. I'm fine with it, you know. I think it hasn't, like, impacted my life in a negative way. I feel like they're talking a completely different language.
It's wild, right?
Yeah, it's interesting when people in our lives that are adults are young enough to know Pokemon. Like, when we went to Mississippi to see my family recently, my cousins that are, like, 30 knew all about Pokemon and sat and talked with our sons forever about it. And Stephanie and I were like, wow, no clue what they're saying.
Oh, no, my son knows all the names. And then he sort of lightly quizzes me about them. And I like, I not mm-hmm. even do I not know, I'm not retaining it.
Yeah, none of it. None of it.
Which might be the name of a Pokemon. Okay.
And so, to be fair, I'm not even that great with sports. My wife is way more in the sports world than I am. We were going to be in Toronto together and she said, oh my gosh, I was able to secure some Maple Leaf tickets.
Oh my God.
I guess it was the playoffs yeah. or whatever it's called. And I was like, oh my gosh. And she said, they're a little pricey. Should I get them? I said, yeah, great. Get them. And then she was like, woohoo. And then my follow-up text was, what sport is that? And she was like, oh my God. I was like, I don't know. It sounded exciting. And like, we had really secured something cool. But, and I was like, yeah, let's go. But I honestly thought it was baseball. I had no idea, but I do enjoy hockey. I think to watch more than most sports because it's so fast and
slam it up against the boards and then the puck is back in action. Like it is a pretty intense watch.
Slamming against the boards is the whole reason my son Max is there. That's why he got his ticket.
Yeah. So I live in New York. I have a kid in this city and I'm constantly reevaluating whether this is where I want to raise a kid, you know, city kid. I didn't mm-hmm. exactly have that. You know, I mm-hmm. know that you grew up in a more rural setting in Mississippi, but you live in LA. How do you find having little kids in Los Angeles?
You know, I was really into Los Angeles and I don't really have any complaints. Getting married and then having kids, it did kind of change my perspective where I felt like, what am I doing here? You know? It just feels a little odd. And then my wife is 15 years younger than me and her careers I feel is taking off way more lately. And so we're just trying to figure out, does it make sense? Do we have to be here?
Right.
We both feel like maybe there could be a different place to go, but we have a tremendous life. We have great friends and you know, like I said, our kids are on all these teams and we go to the games and their grandfather lives right near us and he's part of the whole little league, works in the dugout and keeps that clean and, you know, manages the dugout. But you are in Hollywood, you know, it's really something. And it's crazy because we just were, like I said, in Mississippi and just the open spaces.
I know.
And my kids would just dart off and run in like huge lots of land, just squealing. They can't do that in Los Angeles.
No.
So the grass is always a little greener.
I know. I had the exact same experience, but it was just upstate New York that we were like parking somewhere and there was just a huge field mm-hmm. and my son just running around being like wild with the idea of a horizon that seemed far away.
I know if we left Los Angeles, we would miss it. There's certainly restaurants and a social life that we would for sure miss.
But. Oh yeah. The convenience too. There's just everything.
Then inconvenience. There's a lot of inconvenience. Right. The traffic and the parking and the what is this person doing on our street?
Yeah.
What's happening right now?
Right.
What are those helicopters when I'm trying to sleep or throw the ball in the backyard?
Mm-hmm.
It's not convenient.
No, no, I hear you on that. It's true. Anytime I take my kid to on the subway in New York, I'm like, this is wildly problematic just because it doesn't run well. And, you know, kids are so good. You know, they've no filter, especially that age. They will just exactly tell you their criticism of stuff.
Yeah, of people within earshot that don't ever need to hear what you just witnessed and decided to share with everyone.
when we were on a walk yesterday, there was a whole group of older people, and my son very loudly said, "Is that an elderly group?" I was like, "Lucas,
don't know." I don't know if I am too worried about our kids saying that, just because I'm 52, and so I am the elderly group that they're used to looking at. Actually, one of my sons asked me the other night, it wasn't the other night, that's not true, you caught me, but when they were five, it was bedtime, story time, they call me a mare, which is French for mother, and Finn said, "Mare, are you a boy or a girl?" And I said, "Well, what do you think I am?" And he said, "I think you're a boy." And I said, "No, I'm a girl." And he said, "Yeah, but you look like a boy, right?" And I said, "Yeah, probably." And then we began story time.
So I was like, all right.
5 years of living together. And it finally came up if his mother was a boy or a girl. So.
And I love that it was like a 5-sentence conversation. And then, yeah, you're good. You're good.
All right.
Now, I've asked this to comics on the show before, if they've wanted kids their whole life. And I will tell you, pretty much a mixed bag. But I know from reading and listening to you that for you, the answer is yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you feel like that way as an adult? Or was it like, did you babysit as a teenager and just think of it even when you were younger?
I did babysit as a teenager. And I actually even worked at a daycare center for years. I had dropped out of high school and I needed a job. And it is so not the job that you just pick up because you need a job.
Oh my gosh.
I was, my mind was blown. I was never the most affectionate person. And it was actually really good for me because I walk in and all these kids just want to hug you. And I had long hair at the time. They were wanting to braid my hair. And I was like, whoa, hold on. What's happening? And like, you know, wanting to sit on my lap but I don't know. I think it was really good for me. And I had always thought maybe I would have kids. And I think working with children really opened me up even more. And as a young adult, I think in my late teens, early 20s, I started to just kind of imagine, well, I'll probably just have a kid. I always pictured myself just me and this little baby. I don't know where it was going to come from, but it was just going to be me and this kid. And I had no idea what was to come.
But then when you're doing stand-up, you're on the road, did you go, well, that's the end of that?
No, honestly, I had a terrible, well, Stephanie thinks was a terrible plan. She's very, and of course I want everyone to be safe, but she is all about safety and that you do things this way. And I was a little more loosey-goosey, I think. My mother was very loosey-goosey in certain ways. I'm by the book in other ways, but I had it in my mind that, okay, I'll have this kid. I'll go on tour, I'll have an opener, and my opener will watch my kid backstage for 30 minutes. I'll pay them for their show. So that was my plan. I'm not saying it's good.
That's
not saying
terrible.
It's reasonable. Okay, but that was my plan. And I feel like there are plenty of comedians that would have been like, I would do that. I'd hang out with your baby for whatever amount of time. I would have done that to get on the road. And like, if I liked kids, which I did, I would have been like, I had no problem.
Okay. So then obviously that was the plan. You did want to become a parent and you started IVF. Mm-hmm. You started it after you had, you know, gone through a double mastectomy and to an extent finished with breast cancer, not to trauma bond, but just to relate, after I went through breast cancer treatment myself, I really wanted to have a kid. And I am just wondering with the timeline, is that a similar story to yours at all?
No, I was on a path, you know how when you're younger, you have this idea of like, I'm going to do this until I'm 25, and then I'm going to have my ideal job when I'm this age, and then I'm going to work this amount of years, save my money, and then I'll be married. And then I'll, you know, you have things plotted out sometimes, and then oops, you're gay and you have cancer and you're a comedian, and none of that at all lines up. But I was still dragging along whatever semblance of this timeline with me in life. And part of it was that when I'm 40, I'm going to have a kid. And I felt like that was a reasonable amount of time from when I started stand up to where I would hopefully be and how much money I had saved. And, you know, I'd have my opener in place that could babysit my kid on the road. You know, I had all of those things. And I had done, are you familiar with NACA conventions?
Oh, probably? Yeah. So, yeah, yes. But for people who don't know, that was for colleges.
Yeah, you perform stand-up and all of the buyers from the different colleges come out. They see you perform. And if they like what they see, they'll bid on you to come to their college. And I had a crazy successful NACA one year where I was like, oh my God, like I was just sweeping it up there. And so I did this insane amount of colleges and making at the time an insane amount of money.
Oh yeah.
Where I was thinking, this is really putting me on track perfectly, because once I finish this college tour, I'm going to have so much money in the bank. I am going to be so ready to become a parent. And then I started to get sick right after the tour, and then I got sicker and sicker, and everything fell apart. But I had money in the bank, but I didn't have my health, and I was ready to have a kid. So life just didn't line up with my schedule that I had put together.
Yeah.
I was so teed up. So teed up.
I mean, some people might go, you know what? I'm done with medical intervention of any kind. I am definitely not going to do something like IVF. It's, yeah, you have to do a lot of appointments.
And you have to pull over while you're driving into some seedy parking lot and inject yourself in the thigh or stomach. You also have to do that.
That's right. Exactly. And your wife, Stephanie, was she someone who wanted to have kids her whole life?
Yeah. I actually hid it from her in the beginning because I was trying to have a baby because I had just started dating her. And she was, as I said, 15 years younger than me. She had never dated a woman. I was like, oh my God, this is going to be the biggest turnoff that this sickly older lesbian is trying to have the last shot at having a child. And so I was, you know, privately, like I said, pulling over behind dumpsters to like shoot up my thigh and stomach to have a child. And then, so I just didn't tell Stephanie. And then when I realized that this was a crazy secret to keep, because we were clearly in love and there was no way, because in my mind I was thinking, oh, well, I'll just, you know, we can fall in love and get further along in our relationship, and I can just have this baby cooking, you know, somewhere, and
just reveal
it and have to deal. Yeah, and well, no, I knew I'd have to reveal it sooner, but I figured if it was with a surrogate, I could keep it kind of out of our relationship. We could still be going on dates, and then I was like, this is insane. So I told her, and she was just amazing, and said, I don't want you going to these doctor's appointments by yourself. I want to be a part of this. And she said, I want children. I mean, this was months into dating.
Wow.
And I was like, this doesn't freak you out? And she's like, no, I want to be a part of it. She said, I actually want 5 kids. And I thought, well, I only imagined 1, but
but now that you're 5, talking.
Well, truly, I thought I enjoyed her so much that I thought, well, sure, I'd have 5 kids with you. I'd do anything with you, you know? And so I was just all in the way she was all in. And then we ended up, you know, having twins, meeting halfway, I guess, almost halfway. And once we had twins, she said, I think I'm finished with the five kid dream.
Nothing says, yeah, let's revisit the large family, like yeah, a couple little kids.
Yeah. She said whenever she would see movies where there's a lot of chaos and kids like coming in and out of the house and grabbing a football and eating cereal at the table, she was like, I just love that busy chaos vibe. And even though I feel like we're good with two, if Stephanie said, I want to have another kid or let's do this, I would absolutely do it. I guess I just trust our situation.
Yeah, you're open to inviting more in.
We're not going to have more. I know that for sure. But and we have this conversation all the time. I just feel open, but I know for a fact we're not having more children. Okay.
What kind of teenager were you, by the way?
I was certainly rebellious. I failed three grades. I dropped out of high school. I smoked cigarettes, listened to rock and roll.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I would say me and my friends were some of the biggest problems, but in today's standards,
yes,
it's nothing.
Nothing.
And of course, you could go off the rails. And I had friends that went way off the rails and that ended up drug addicts or they are not alive anymore. And I am so on the straight and narrow. It is ridiculous. It is very ridiculous.
Like you got it all out of the way.
Oh my God, it's so far out of the way. I just don't feel like I'm up to anything,
right,
ever. I'm like, you want to go through my stuff? You want to eavesdrop on my call? You want to like, okay. Always like, when people are like, oh my God, the government's listening to our call. I'm like, listen away. If you find anything interesting, I don't know what anybody would find.
That's funny. I someone asked to use my phone and they were like, is there anything on here? And I was like, what? No.
I know. I was sitting at our office the other night and the curtains were open and it was completely pitch dark out. And I thought, well, I guess I should close the curtains just because I can't see out and other people can see in. But that's when it hit me that I'm really up to nothing. Like I'm not like away at the office up to anything. I am just sitting here working and the curtains are open.
Just trying.
I'm
to
just
get gonna
stuff close
done.
It, you know. But I used to be.
Bean Dad, the dress. 30 to 50 feral hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus, where every week I take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who were they? What made them so notorious? Why did the internet choose them? And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? I'll be talking to internet historians, experts, and yes, the main characters themselves to get a fuller picture. Because I think that even outside individual experiences, a character of the day tells us something about how the internet worked at that time and how the attention economy developed into the freaky three-headed dragon it is today. Together, we probably won't be able to properly log out, but we can take a walk down scary internet memory lane and see one day a little more clearly. Listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
What do you think about schooling and education for your kids? Do you feel a little bit like more open to whatever, or do you, you know, are you like, no, it's going to be Montessori or I don't know, whatever kind of learning we're going to set them up?
Yeah. We're both actively searching out what school doesn't give homework, you know, what,
yeah.
You know, and my stepfather, actually, he was the one that really pushed me and my brother. And before he died, he asked me if he could put aside money for their education. And I said, sure. And he said, but I want you to know, and this was big for him because he was very much a certain way. And this is how you do it. You go to college, you go to business school, you do this and that. And
there's one
didn't
path
work for me. And yeah. And he was acknowledging that there's different ways for everyone. And he said, if I put this money aside, I want you to know that Max and Finn don't have to go to college. They could go to an art school. They could go and learn masonry and whatever it is that they want to do. And that was a very big moment to see him come around in that way. It was very touching.
Right.
Because I told him, I said, if my kids want to be a car mechanic and they're the happiest people in the world, if they truly want to, you know, ride the back of a garbage truck and they are smiling every day of their life, I am 1,000,000% on board with that. If they want to be an attorney and they're happy, whatever they want to do, I really, really want them to be happy people.
Yeah.
And Stephanie feels the same way.
Well, how do you describe your parenting style? Are they feral? That's what people in Park Slope say all the time. Feral.
No, I don't ever yell. I get very stern. Our biggest punishment in our house is that they have to go sit by the front door. And they, for 7 years now, don't realize it's not that big of a deal. And so, but they avoid it like the plague. And it's truly, there's a moment where I'm like, if this continues to happen, you will go sit by the front door. And it, and again, when we were just in Mississippi, and not to paint my family like a bunch of cartoon characters, but my cousin was like, are you serious? You don't yell at your kids. They just listen to you, you know, just like baffled because my cousin's screaming her head off, chasing her kids around. And Max and Finn just, you know, will turn to them and say, look at me. You cannot do that. And my cousin's like, oh my God, are you kidding me? You don't scream at them ever?
No. Yeah. All I have to say is front door.
But I mean, it's not to say that they don't misbehave or they, you know, when they turn six, we allowed them to have, they call them iPads. They're not iPads. They don't know that they're not iPads. They're these little tablets.
Oh, that's
but,
so cute.
You know, in public, they call them their iPads, but we'll tell them that their iPad will go away for an entire day if they act a certain way. That's another consequence.
Yeah, but sure.
In general, they're oddly well behaved, and mainly their little spats between the two of them, I would say, is where it pops up the most.
Are they competitive?
Well, our son Finn is extraordinarily competitive, and our son Max was born 60 years old, and he's like, ugh, Finn's trying to beat me at this, and, you know, they're very different.
Oh, that's
they
funny.
They couldn't be more
that's
different.
That's a funny dynamic.
And if you try and get in there and reprimand one for treating the other one poorly, then the one you're trying to protect will snap at you for talking to his brother that way.
Oh, they'll protect each other in the discipline.
Yeah.
That you...
Yeah. And you're like, I'm trying to help you. He just bopped you on the head with his elephant. don't talk to my brother like that. And you're like, okay, well, you guys got to deal with this.
I got nothing to do with any of this. Proceed.
Yeah, sorry to bother you.
Okay, this is a deeply, I feel, psychological question, but I wanted to talk to you about it. I grapple with this. I know your story. I know you've been through a lot of tragedy and trauma, you know, and I think when that happens, you end up seeing the world in a couple different ways. And it's either a safe place, you're like, I can cope with things, or you see it as a very dangerous place because you know what the worst of it can look like. And that's one thing when you travel around as an adult, but it's a whole other thing when you bring kids into your life. I sometimes just grapple with this idea of like, what can I protect you from? How can I protect you? I know I can't protect you. It's very fraught. How do you think about that?
Well, first of all, I love my life and my family and my kids, and I wouldn't change a thing. And simultaneously, I think, oh my God, what have I done? What have I done having children? Why would I do this? Why would I bring people into a world that is so terrifying?
Right.
You know, I try to find that happy medium between the way my mother raised me, which was, I was certainly not feral, but I'm all over the place.
Yeah.
What Stephanie and I can come to is the idea that you set up a fence around the yard and that is the safety. And then you run free. And the safety fence is, that's the boundary there.
That's what you got.
You know, the terrifying part is when you talk to people with older kids and they say, oh, the worries get worse and worse. And wait till they drive and wait till they go off to college. Wait till they move out of the house. Wait till they start dating. And wait till you're like,
But at least now we can put trackers on them. And they're called iPhones.
Trackers.
With your schedule right now, you know, we just always talk about, basically how working in entertainment is a terrible career choice for having kids just because of the hours. So I know, you know, roughly from looking at what you've been up to, in addition to being on set for television or and film, you host two podcasts. You had something like 70 dates last year, theater dates?
I think so.
Yeah. So do you bring the family with you at all? Or is it a FaceTime routine?
FaceTime is so unsuccessful. It's just like, you know, somebody's nostrils and then someone else grabs the phone and takes me off to the bathroom. And I'm just like, I miss everyone, but I don't need this. We're at times together, but rarely when I'm on tour, cause you know, I'm going city to city. That's exhausting.
Yeah.
There's times when my family comes, but mainly it's best if they're just home and in their routine and going to their games and seeing their grandparents. And then when I'm home, I try really hard to just be home.
Yeah.
You know, it's all they've ever known. And I would say we're a very close family. It's really good. And mixed in with tough stuff. That's the other thing, is it's like people will write to me or tag me online and be like, oh, relationship goals. And it's flattering. But I also, Stephanie and I have got our issues. And I said to her one time, I was like, man, 99% of the time, you are the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. But that 1%, I cannot stand you. And she's like, same. That 1%, it's like the dregs of the earth. You just, repugnant. But 99%, I laugh so hard with her. I appreciate her. She is the greatest partner. But that 1%, it's weird because being a public figure, they see you on a TV show. They see you in a movie. They hear you on the podcast. And it's like, why on earth would I be recording my hospital stay or the fight I'm having with my wife, or when my kids are fighting, you know?
Yeah, that's your reality series. That's coming up.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I would never do in a million years.
No.
But just know that all of that is happening.
That is so good to point out. Thank you so much, Tig. It was such a pleasure.
Of course.
That's our show. Thank you so much for listening. Please subscribe to this podcast. Pass it along to anyone you think might enjoy it. Hey, leave us a review. 5 stars would be so fantastic. And we'd love to hear what you think. Follow us on the socials, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, at Parenting is a Joke. On Twitter, we are Parenting Joke. We also have a monthly newsletter with updates, tips, tricks, games. You can go to parentingisajokepod.com to sign up. But also, we started a Substack. What are we, crazy? How do we have the time? Excellent question. We'll find out. But yes, we have a new Substack. You can search for Parenting is a Joke, but we'll also throw it out on our socials and all over the place. So make sure you give it a read. Our episode is produced by me and Julie Smith-Clem. Our editor is Nina Porzucchi. Our sound designer is Tina Toby Mack. Our game writer is Emily Winter. Our theme song and music is by Adira Amram and The Experience. Thanks to all of the engineers at CityVox. And here's a little extra comedic content from Tig Notaro.
No, am I right in saying, just as a little backtracking, that as you were doing stand-up and just kind of figuring out, you know, how to make money from it, that you also babysat for Lucy Lawless's children?
Well, I didn't babysit for them, but I worked for her husband's production company that produced Xena and Hercules and all these shows. And when Lucy would come in to town, she would have me leave the office and go hang out with her daughter, Daisy. And I would take her to amusement parks and out to lunch and just hang out with her. And it was really kind of ridiculous. Lucy and Daisy are hugely into roller coasters, and I'm terrified of them. I would wait in line with Daisy until it was her turn to go. I wouldn't even go on the ride with her. I just walked her up to the front, got her on the thing. She went zipping around and whipping around, and then I'd meet her at the exit, and then we'd go on to the next one. I remember one time I rode a very small, manageable roller coaster. I was on that eating cotton candy next to Daisy. And I remember my cell phone rang, and it was my childhood friend, Megan. And she said, "What are you doing?" And truly in the background, she could hear the ch-ch-ch-ch of the roller coaster going up. And I said, "Oh, I'm at work. I'm on a roller coaster with Xena's daughter and having cotton candy." And she was like, "Oh my God, of course you are." My friends who all made good grades, went to college, got married, had kids, lived in the suburbs. And then I'm off in Hollywood on a roller coaster, eating cotton candy and doing
with the warrior princess's
daughter.
Yeah, doing
perfectly fine. Yeah, I found a few loopholes in life, and my friends are always like, "Oh God, of course, of course, of course, of course."
Bean Dad, The Dress, 30 to 50 Feral Hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus. And every week we take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who are they? What made them so notorious? How did the internet or the algorithm choose them? And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? Listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, "Well, I had this career before, but it was a waste." And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.